welcome. Well, you are at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family. And we're so delighted that you've welcomed us into your home. You know we would love to hear from you, so send us an email with a question or a comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com. Well, today we are very excited to have Megan Murphy with us. Now, she is a speaker and a writer and the founder of MeganMurphyMinistries.com. Her focus is on family and marriage and the social issues, including the negative effects that the youth are suffering at the hands of a pornography-filled world. You can go to her website, MeganMurphyMinistries.com. And we are having Megan on for a time such as this.
Amen.
The world is, it feels like it's off the rail.
Yeah.
And the church, you and me, we need to be light and salt and to speak words of life and love and hope and truth and guidance and direction back. So if you have grandchildren or your children or you are struggling in this sexually saturated world in which we live, and you kind of wake up someday and you go, how did we get here? Know that it's a divine, it's a plan by the enemy, but God has a divine plan to transform and to bring it back. And you and I are part of it, and Megan's gonna help us.
Megan's with us in the midst of our preparation for Pentecost coming up on Sunday, so it's nearing. We pray that you are preparing with us for a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon your life, your marriage, your children. You can go to ewtn.com/Pentecost, ewtn.com/Pentecost. Get the ebook there, be praying the novena to the Holy Spirit, understand what the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit are, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, in this world, you're gonna have tribulation. And not only you, your kids, your loved ones, but be of good cheer because I have overcome this world. Pray for a fresh outpouring upon you and your loved ones. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, today we are very happy to welcome Megan Murphy. She is a speaker and a writer and the founder of MeganMurphyMinistries.com. Her focus is on family and marriage and social issues, including the negative effects that the youth are suffering today at the hands of a pornography-filled world. You can go to her website, MeganMurphyMinistries.com. Well, hello, beautiful one. We are so excited to have you.
Likewise. It's a joy to be here. Thank you.
Well, good. And first, we want you to tell our family a little bit about yourself and then about your beautiful apostolate.
Okay, thank you. I'm a revert. Very simply put, I'm a revert. I did grow up in a Catholic home, but like every family, the fall got us all. And it took the form of alcoholism in my home. So those people who know a lot about addiction know that spiritual impoverishment is kind of the mark of a home where addiction is until they find recovery. And that certainly didn't escape us at all. So grew up in that home environment where grace was prayed on holidays. Mm-hmm. But the two people in my life who had a remarkable prayer life were my aunt and my grandmother. And they modeled prayer for me. And ironically, today is the Feast of Our Lady of Fatima, but they very much were Fatima Peace Plan prayer people. So after dinner, they would go up and hold themselves away in a room and pray. And in the midst of a lot of pain and suffering and resentment and loss of control, they were a bit of an oasis. Mm-hmm. So I will tell you that I was formed mostly by the world, in spite of I did a lot of Catholic education. I was put in the Catholic world for education purposes, but it's a blessing it's convicted me that mm-hmm. parents are the primary educators, mm-hmm. no question. Parents are the primary educators of their children. So the Catholic education I received it in a way that was broken. I thought of it as a lot of rules. Didn't know the rule maker. And so in my college years, I really rebelled against those rules. If you don't know the rule maker, the rules don't make sense, right? So essentially, I feel like all of that today, even the suffering, the bits of suffering mm-hmm. that were part of that, were a huge blessing. They were just such a gift because God was going to use all of the darkness and bring about some extraordinary grace in and through it. Mm-hmm. Even the alcoholism, watching my dad get sober was absolutely transformative. Mm-hmm. It was incredible. Mm-hmm. My ministry, I think, is born from my sin. Mm-hmm. This culture we live in today that is so hypersexualized, this culture, I built this culture. My fall away from Christ and the church, I built this culture. I created it, and I feel like the apostolate that's been given to me by God is his welcome to me mm-hmm. To help rebuild this culture into one of life and of authentic love. Mm-hmm. So it came around really as a result of falling in love with the rule writer. Mm-hmm. So I would say Our Lady played an undeniable, a massive role in leading me back to her son. My conversion is so much built around the Holy Family, which mm-hmm. is kind of funny because that becomes such a huge, passionate part of my faith and my devotion today. Mm-hmm. I was given, when my auntie and my grandma died, I grieved deeply, and I was in the midst of a very self-centered, selfish, self-indulgent lifestyle. Ego-driven, and I was an addict of my own kind, addicted to, say, comfort, ease, pleasure, whatever was easy, mm-hmm. whatever was enjoyable. And so my auntie and my grandma, when they passed away, mm-hmm. put a woman in recovery in my life who handed me a book on Mary. And it was on apparitions that she was supposedly having in Medjugorje, and I picked that book up, which led me to a church of St. Joseph, mm-hmm. the patron saint of purity. Mm-hmm. And there I encountered their son in the monstrance, mm-hmm. the Eucharistic Jesus. And it was very clear. Can I give you the details?
Yeah.
Kind of wild. I'm living a very unchaste life. I'm there with my boyfriend. We're there seeking healing for him from physical issues. And this priest is processing through the church. And through the entire first half of the church, the person who's doing petitionary prayer from the front, nothing but physical healings, mm-hmm. named respiratory illnesses, autoimmune disorders, cancers. And then the Eucharistic Lord in the monstrance is right before my pew, right there. And all of a sudden, this person who's never met me, doesn't know I'm in the church, says, for all those committing sins against the virtue of chastity, mm-hmm. for those engaging in, and lists a mm-hmm. whole number of sins. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. the truth is, I turned to my boyfriend and I said, what does fornication mean?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And he's like, I don't know. And I said, is that something, are they talking to us? Is mm-hmm. is he talking to us? Mm-hmm. And my boyfriend said, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when I went home, I didn't have a catechism, and I certainly didn't have Google, and I thank God for that. Mm-hmm. And I looked that up in Merriam-Webster's, and that's when I called my boyfriend in and said, I think we have to do something really different. Mm-hmm. so you can see where the Holy Family,
sure.
Church
right.
of St. Joseph, right. Our Lady led me, mm-hmm. and their Eucharistic Lord, he spoke very much to my
heart. That boyfriend you married, okay, and how many years are you married, and how many children do you have?
I have 4 beautiful daughters and a son on the other side. We're married since 1995. I have seen that man that I marry grow more and more and more into the image of St. Joseph the longer I'm married to him. Mm-hmm. It's just a real gift and a mm-hmm. complete miracle himself. Mm-hmm. Someone who formerly struggled with addiction himself, and I met him in a year of sobriety, and he was just... Mm-hmm. His real personal searing relationship with Christ, which was tender and personal, that's what was missing. It was so attractive to me. Mm-hmm. It was so attractive to me, and that's what taught me what was missing.
Right.
It was the personal relationship, right. Not this God that's way far off in another country helping
us. So then the joy and the obedience of that relationship with all the rules that you knew. Now when you fall in love with the ruler, yeah, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, all you want to do is obey and make your life line up to everything that he has, right?
Do you know what gave that to me was my dad's program of recovery and all the people in recovery came to know the 12 steps mm-hmm. has a third step. And it's turned my life and my will over to the care of God as I understood him. I misunderstood him. Mm-hmm. And coming into an environment of recovery as well as the church, God was going to realign that misunderstanding. Mm-hmm. And to be honest with you, they don't look at like rules to me. They look right. like guardrails, the protection, right. the protection, right?
Right. It's like a love list.
It is, mm-hmm. it is. Mm-hmm. And to be honest with you, the things that I were disobeying were causing a deeper enslavement mm-hmm. to all this right. stuff that I couldn't control that was controlling me, unhappiness, unmanageability. Then all of a sudden I started saying, well, God, this is too hard. And he'd say, leave it to me. Mm-hmm. And I would just put my 5 loaves and 2 fish in, just my poor efforts. Mm-hmm. And God would bless my mess. Mm-hmm. And little by little, confession, communion, grace upon grace, mm-hmm. those rules didn't seem so impossible after all. And like you said, freedom and joy mm-hmm. for the person who lives in accordance with yes. Christ and his word. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
yeah.
You shall know the truth and the truth will set you free.
Mm-hmm.
And your story is really a kind of a combination of things with, you know, there's some rebelliousness that's there,
oh, yeah.
but there's a lot of ignorance that's there. Like you didn't even know the scripture that, you didn't know what fornication, that term meant. And it says, oh. fornicators will not inherit the kingdom of God. So if you happen to be, now you understand what fornication is.
Right.
And then you say, well, this is really something. I think I love you, you love me. So we're not all that promiscuous. We're trying to be faithful to one another. But this is saying here, do I love him more than this sexual aspect of
yes.
our relationship? You will not inherit the kingdom of God. To believe that word, and like you're saying, now for you, that's another rule. But you know the rule maker. You're getting to know the rule
the
maker.
The merciful God.
The merciful
yes.
God, the loving God. Is I will
yes.
give you power.
You said something that's so important to me, Jim. That is the whole idea of, it's sin and ignorance. It really is sin and ignorance. There was some degree of rebellion. It was rebellion against any restraint. Like, I really believe that freedom would bring me more comfort, ease, and pleasure. Mm-hmm. What I understand is that freedom does bring joy and consolation. What I was living wasn't freedom, it was license.
Yes.
There's a gigantic difference. And so license was actually enslaving me to a lot of things that were going to ultimately make me unhappy. I do think the issue of scripture, I didn't know and I didn't love scripture. That's very different today. Right. But I had to understand that God was merciful and patient. The first Corinthians 13, love is patient. Mm-hmm. God is love. God, therefore, is patient. And I see his patience in the writing of my story. You know, I wrote all the sinful parts. He turns it into a glory
That's
story.
Right. That's
he
right.
turns it into a glory story. But how patient our God is, right?
Mm-hmm. And so his mother.
Oh.
And the beauty of how he writes straight on all of our crooked lines. And as he does with all of our lives, is when we present it before him and cry out like, I didn't know you. I didn't know you. I was ignorant of you and who you are. Now, Jesus, teach me. And he teaches us and then takes all that mess and he repairs it for his glory. And then it becomes part of our testimony. So that then you can speak into a world that is so dark, that is so off the rail right now. And you can call and say, I once was you. I was where you are. I know what it's like to be lost and lonely and afraid and to be suffering and to be and having God come before me. He's coming before you in the light and in the witness of my life. Now you come to him, right? And that's how he's using the Megan Murphy Ministries.
I'm so blessed, and this little apostolate is really his gift to me. And was I deserving of a gift? Not at all. That's how mm-hmm. good God is. Mm-hmm. But because I helped build the culture of death, the culture of lust, the culture of darkness, all of that, God wanted me to be part of the solution. Mm-hmm. And I look back, I was so in the world. I did lots of theater that today would make me blush. I did some Shakespeare, but so much of the theater I did not, it glorified me.
Mm-hmm.
But I will tell you that God uses everything and wastes nothing mm-hmm. in the economy of salvation.
Right.
And he will take my sin and my ignorance, and he will bring an even greater good than if none of it had taken place.
Right.
That's the beauty, that's the extraordinary truth of the gospel.
Yeah. Right.
And I learned, I think, believe it or not, I learned that when I heard addicts who were mired down in their own addictions talk about what had happened in their addiction, where God entered in, and then what God did with their life mm-hmm. once they turned their mm-hmm. life and will over
yeah.
to him.
Mm-hmm.
That this whole idea of self-gift or service, it's always been a part of the heart of the church. And I think I really learned it when my dad got in cars and picked up other guys who were suffering mm-hmm. and wanting to drink, and just made sure that they got with a community of people who could yeah. say, I understand you.
Yeah, right.
And that's not the answer.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, the need of community is absolutely critical. I do admire people going through AA, and I have some friends in that, and just the importance of, you know, saying my life has become unmanageable, I can't, you know, do this, and then the accountability thing, to have an accountability partner, somebody that's praying with you that will be there at any moment, any time to help you. For us as Christians, as Catholics, it's also so important to pray with one another.
Agreed.
Not only the prayers of the church, which is so important, but I don't think we pray enough with one another, just simple prayers. And that activates, that looses the power of the Spirit. You're a big John Paul II devotee. Tell us about how this plays into your ministry, his teaching, I think of theology of the body versus
yes.
what we're seeing out here in the world, love and responsibility, and the role that laity can have, you know, in experiencing this and then declaring the truth.
Yes. Well, the first thing you said, I just want to confirm, I couldn't agree more with you. The fellowship, that idea of communion of persons, it is not good for man to be alone. My first real experience of communion of persons was around that 12-step recovering community.
Yeah.
And it is because we understand we're fallen, mm-hmm. we understand what our fallen nature looks like, and how badly we need to depend. We can't be self-reliant. We need God.
Mm-hmm.
The church isn't always there. Sometimes you can experience like a bit of a zombie apocalypse in the church where, you know, I'm showing up in case there's a hell
yeah.
check.
Mm-hmm.
That's not relationship, right?
Right?
And so this idea of a conscious contact and being yeah. able to reach in and pray with other people, it is so critical to our mm-hmm. spiritual growth, and also just our recognition that yeah. we're in this together.
Right.
Megan, we're going to pause here. We're going to carry you over to the final segment so you can continue with this teaching of intimacy with the Lord and with one another in the power of the Spirit. We'll be right back. There's plenty more to come. Have hope in the Lord and the strength of his might. We'll be right back. Don't go away. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is alive, and we're preparing for Pentecost, speaking with Megan Murphy, who has experienced an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in her life that mm-hmm. radically reoriented her life and coming to know Jesus intimately,
yes.
The rule giver, knowing him personally. You were sharing at the close of that segment about true intimacy with God,
yes.
intimacy, you know, with brothers and sisters in the church and the importance of that. I guess that relates to marriage and the family as well.
Absolutely. I love that you brought it up, because I think what we're seeing in the world is a direct reflection of a lack of intimacy mm-hmm. with God and with one another. This, I mean, even pornography abuse has been referred to as an intimacy disorder. And it makes sense
yeah.
because the heart has been made, it has been so hardwired for intimacy. It's right. been hardwired for it, not only with God, but with each other. And so when we fail to actually get that ache for him,
right.
for one with one another satiated, we fall for lesser things,
yeah. mm-hmm.
and we create counterfeit gods, these little idols. I know Father Mike Schmitz is well known for saying the heart is an idol making factory. He's taken it from other sources, but that's the story of my mm-hmm. life before yeah. that coming to believe that there was an intimate personal God. And so making the right environment, both within the home and within your own prayer life, to experience intimacy with the Lord and one another, critical.
Making the right environment, what does that mean? What are the Spirit-filled rules for that? You know, like, I think you mentioned silence. I mean, that sounds pretty radical in a home. You know, space, silence.
In this noise-filled world.
Right. Well, I was drawn to it because of Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, what it instantly gave me, which was a kind of peace. I can go in there filled with anxiety and turmoil and worry, and I leave there changed every time. Amen. And then after experiencing Adoration and making it a regular habit of my life, I read C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Letters, and he's so brilliant. And Screwtape says to his nephew Wormwood, little demon, he's trying to teach how to rob a Christian from God. Mm. And one of the first plans he lays out is this: I will make of the world a cacophony of noise and busyness.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. And what a plan, because if he creates so much noise and busyness, then our hearts be still and know that I'm God. Then our hearts can't connect. Then our hearts cannot connect with the living God. God invites us in the Psalms, be still and know that I am God. And so just his plan is brilliant in a sense, not more brilliant than God's antidote to this problem.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where adoration, John Paul has really invited us to a tremendous revitalization of our love of the Eucharistic Lord and adoration, because it's the antidote to the busyness, the chaos, the hectic lives that people are so quick to lead.
And it quiets the storms in all of our lives, emotionally, physically, spiritually, in all the other areas where we've set up false intimacies in pornography. And I need this screen. I need to know how many. Do you need to know, or do you need to kneel before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords today and have him tell you who you are and heal your wounds and all of your sorrows and hear your heart cry? Who else is hearing your heart cry other than God? And who else is equipped to do anything about it?
Right.
Only God.
And another beautiful gift, I'm going to think it's the 11th step of that 12-step fellowship, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God. That's a huge gift, and where do I find that? I find that in adoration.
We're gonna close right there. Thank God we have you for tomorrow. This has been a very powerful conversation, and I know that it's great just to experience it, but we wanna take it to others. Pray that you've been blessed today. You have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ for yourself and for your families. You're an important part of this EWTN family. You're never alone. You're always at home with Jim and Joy. Bye now.